The Holy Gospel for today comes from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." And he said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Sisters and brothers, peace be yours this day from God our Creator, from Jesus our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit who propels us forward. Amen. This past week, on the 4th of July, in fact, John and I, my husband and I, watched the classic South Dakota film Dances with Wolves, which I am ashamed to admit was the first time either of us had seen it. If you also happen to be 30 years behind in your movie viewings like we were, I am happy to report that it is available for free viewing on YouTube with ads, we discovered. Well, as a quick recap, if it's been a while since you've seen it or if you haven't yet, in the first scene of the film, we meet First Lieutenant John Dunbar after being wounded in battle in Tennessee. It's the height of the Civil War, 1863. And eventually, Dunbar becomes a battle hero and then is offered his choice of posting. And in so doing, he asks to be sent to the frontier. A major sends him to Fort Sedgwick, the farthest possible location at the time, mocking Dunbar's desire to head west. In fact, the mayor says the road there will be wild and hostile country. After a tumultuous westward journey, Dunbar arrives at the fort, which appears to be completely deserted, and over the course of the next few days, he settles into his isolated new home. As he records in his journal, most days the only company he has at the post is a wolf. This particular wolf visits him every day around the same time, and eventually, as the weeks go on, Dunbar notices that the wolf reacts when circumstances change, when perhaps other animals or other humans may be approaching the vulnerable post. The pattern serves to protect Dunbar, to give him a heads up when someone may be coming. And so Dunbar names the wolf Two Socks, a nod to the coloring of his front legs. And in turn, the wolf eventually becomes Dunbar's own namesake when, after he befriends Lakota neighbors, they dub him Dances with Wolves. Sometimes even wolves dance, and even in the most unexpected places. Sometimes wolves dance. In today's gospel passage, we meet Jesus as he sends out 70 of his followers to spread the good news that the kingdom of God has come near. He sends them out on a journey that he never promises to be smooth or friendly. He sends them not only to meet people they've never met, but he sends them out to depend on the hospitality of strangers. He sends them into an unknown world. And in his own words, Jesus' own words, he sends them out like lambs in the midst of wolves. But sometimes wolves dance. Sometimes wolves protect and warn. Sometimes wolves befriend. Sometimes wolves welcome. Today we continue our series we're calling Travels, Trips, and Journeys. And in so doing, we follow along with Jesus as our tour guide through these texts. Today, our tour guide is preparing his travelers in Luke's gospel. He sends them into the unknown with a specific set of guidelines, starting off with a particular packing list, which looks a lot like this, completely blank. Jesus says, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. And on the one hand, this may be a word of first century minimalism. Don't let your stuff weigh you down, Jesus may be saying, physically or metaphorically. Be present to the journey and to the task ahead. But on the other hand, I wonder if it's a word from Jesus about the agenda of the travelers. Don't bring your usual tricks of persuasion. Don't assume you are the one bringing the goods to share. Leave room on your journey to receive, to bring something back. Expect that the people you meet may have something valuable to offer. Even the people and the creatures you would never expect may offer you something. Because sometimes wolves dance. Then the tour guide's instructions continue. When you enter a house, the very first thing you should do is say peace to this house. Don't enter a house and take a quick inventory of the family's amenities. Don't do a spiritual inventory either, entering the house and asking if they follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't ask them if they know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Don't check their political lawn signs before entering the house. Don't let anything you see withhold the peace you have to share. Walk in and say only this, peace to this house. Period. And hey, Jesus says, if your hosts share in that peace, great, they'll keep it. But if they don't, if they reject your peace, no big deal. You'll keep your peace. You'll be no worse for the wear. Just brush it off and move on. And then this is important. Our tour guide says, whatever your hosts cook, eat it. Don't refuse any expression of hospitality. These gifts are yours to receive, not to reject. Expect good things from your host. Expect to be welcomed and well-fed. Expect to receive peace. Expect to meet God in the unknown. Because sometimes wolves dance. Fast forward a little while in the story, maybe a few days, maybe a few weeks, the text doesn't say, and the travelers have returned to their tour guide. And they return with joy, the text says, astounded and surprised at the ways God was present on their journey. Imagine that. Even the demons submit to us, they say, to Jesus. And Jesus says, not so fast. Don't rejoice in your power. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Don't rejoice in your own accomplishments, which, by the way, were only possible because of the presence of God. Rejoice in the grace and mercy of God, who loves and welcomes you, even you. The travelers are surprised that even when they were sent out as lambs in the midst of wolves, God was there in the midst of the wolves. God showed up in the meals and the hospitality and in defeating demonic powers that had taken hold of people. They were surprised to discover that sometimes wolves dance. Back in Dances with Wolves, John Dunbar travels to the great frontier expecting to meet only hostility and violence in the humans and the animals he would encounter. He brings his guns and his tricks and his tools, certainly a far cry from Jesus' instructions to carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. He expects to need protection and not to find it. He expects to impose and not to receive. But in the months of settling on the frontier, his expectations are shattered left and right. A wolf dances with him. A Lakota holy man blesses him. Native American women and men embrace him and feed him and teach him their language. And in these people, he discovers a form of beloved community he has never experienced. In these people, he finds himself. In J. Philip Newell's book, Christ of the Celts, he writes about meeting a First Nations elder from Canada. The elder had attended a lecture of Newell, a lecture during which Newell talked about the light of Christ that exists in each of us. And I'm about to share a quote I just mentioned not too long ago in a sermon, but it bears repeating. After Newell gave these lectures, he writes that this First Nations elder came up to him and he said this: "As I have listened to these themes, I have been wondering where I would be today. I have been wondering where my people would be today. And I have been wondering where we would be as a Western world today if the mission that came to us from Europe centuries ago had come expecting to find light in us. And I wonder where our Native sisters and brothers would be today if our white ancestors had come without their purses and their guns and their sandals and their sense of conquest, and had instead said peace to this house. I wonder where our world would be, where our state would be, if our white ancestors had traveled westward expecting to receive hospitality, if they had been open to the ways God was already present on the frontier among tribal people, if they had left their expectations and their agendas where they started off. John, my husband, recently returned from a trip to Pine Ridge, where he and six high schoolers and two other adults from his congregation spent several days at the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's Retreat Center in Pine Ridge. Many of you have met Pastor Kay Russell. She has preached here at Spirit of Joy, and she has welcomed many of us to Pine Ridge. A group of us was just there 2 years ago. Shortly after John's group first arrived, a retreat center staff member asked each of them to go around in their talking circle and share what they had been told about Pine Ridge, about what expectations they brought to the experience. Many of them shared the same expectations I also had on my first trip to Pine Ridge, which was back in college. It's the expectations many people bring, I imagine. They said, members of John's group said, they had been nervous about traveling to the reservation, wondering if they would be safe. They were told about the alcohol and drug addictions and about the violence. They were told to be scared and skeptical. All of which makes it not surprising that on average, less than 10% of the groups who visit the Pine Ridge Retreat Center each year come from within South Dakota. John was delighted to report that by the end of the trip, he could tell palpably that the youth and the young adults, including himself, had had a meaningful and powerful introduction to the people of Pine Ridge. Their expectations were shattered. After leaving the reservation for a change of pace, they spent a few days hiking and playing in the Black Hills, but John was pretty sure that most of the group would still say their favorite part of the trip was on Pine Ridge. Many of them traveled to Pine Ridge expecting to find violence and despair, addiction and hopelessness, which are elements that certainly all exist on the reservation thanks to generations of trauma. And yet the group also met Kelly Looking Horse, who brought them to Wounded Knee and trusted them with his ancestors' tragic and holy story on that land. They met Valerie, they met Kevin, artists who create beautiful color, one of which Kevin has a piece in our own gathering space. And they shared, as they created, they shared their and their people's stories of beauty and brokenness. They learned about a nonprofit on Pine Ridge seeking to combat climate change by harnessing solar energy and by planting hundreds of trees each day. The word today from Luke's gospel from Jesus is a word about expectations. It's about traveling in the name of Jesus and discovering that God was already present at your destination before you arrived. It's about the humbling notion that as you go, you may not always have something to give, but rather you may discover God in what you receive. In accepting hospitality, in tasting new foods, in having God's peace returned to you, there God is at work. And it's a word today about finding joy in the Lord and in the world. About finding joy even and especially in those places where warned may be devoid of joy. Maybe it's a word also that the world is not always as scary as we are made to believe it is. And that we might do well to learn from our neighbors instead of fearing and avoiding them out of generations of shame and guilt. Because even our Native American siblings who have been long oppressed often still find the grace to share their stories with us and open their communities to us. It's a word that the disciples in our story return with joy. It's a word that God does show up even in places we would never choose to go, even in places where our egos and our fears might not otherwise allow us to visit. It's a word that sometimes wolves dance. Thanks be to God. Amen.